Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea. Sorry, I've been sick. It's not enough air in my lungs. Hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. Whew. I'm your host and I'm recovering from a cold, Freddie Wong.
I'm the Wilmadore 64, also known as the Wiltari 2600.
God.
The great classic screenwriting console of days past. I'm a screenwriter.
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm Breakout Dad of 2019. Sometimes writer, sometimes director. And today, what are we doing, gentlemen?
Beep, boop. Boop. That's right, the sound of classic console gaming, straight from the homes of the 1980s to your ears here in the year
1970s, Freddie.
70s?
1976. May 13th, 1976, the world was changed. Nearly 200 years since the birth of our nation. A new birth. The birth of Breakout, one of the greatest video games of all time, is what we are doing today. And Freddie started this by saying there is nothing we could possibly do with Breakout, so we are here to prove him wrong. Will, what's your idea?
So Breakout, for those who don't know, for those of you who've been living under a rock for the last 2,600 years, Atari 2600 for life, Breakout was a video game developed and published by Atari. It's like one of those staple video games,
yeah.
Like your Tetris, your Snake. If you had a sort of Nokia-type phone in the 1990s, you probably had Breakout on it.
Yeah.
It's the game
Breakout on a Nokia phone?
I'm sure you could get Breakout on a Nokia phone, Frank.
On your TI-83 or 86, if you were rich and your parents could afford those extra $20 or whatever it was for an 86. Come on, Mom, it's $20. I want to play some.
I need it for my advanced calculus class.
Mom, if you just pay 20 more bucks, then my drug wars can have graphics.
We should. Next episode, we're doing drug wars for sure.
Yes.
God, the TI. Do they still charge like $800?
Yeah, they're fucking expensive.
Yeah, they're
fucking outrageous. $100. That is going to be the biggest grift in all of education.
Oh, yeah. TI. When the TI-83
in 2019
costs more than a fucking 3DS.
There's got to be an app for a dollar that can do everything that the TI-83 can do,
oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's insane.
Somebody's probably going to tell us why they're still important. So if they are, let us know why.
I refuse to believe they're still important.
We won't believe you.
I'm like one of those people who's like, oh, we got to be careful not to offend people. I don't want to upset anybody on the show. But like, if you're going to come at me in my mentions about how the TI-83 is not a big fucking ripoff, you can go fuck yourself.
I had a friend in high school who, the smartest guy I knew, shout out to my buddy Alex, who had two TI-89s or something. Like,
oh, the 89.
That's what it is.
He had two of them. And we're like, why do you have two? He's like, so I can take this test twice as fast. And like, no joke, he would finish the test twice as fast.
Oh,
as
my
everyone.
God. He was like Mozart.
Oh,
like,
he would double.
Like Scarlett Johansson and Lucy when she's working on two laptops at the same time on the plane.
It was so insane. And you're like, are you actually? He's like, yeah, I am. You're like, okay, good job, man.
Remember in school, they're like, well, remember, you can't have notes. You can't have notes. All you can do is have your TI. All you can do is use your TI-83. He's like, nice. Looks like I got to go into the code for my quote unquote Pong remake. Oh, what's this code? All my notes.
All right. Breakout. So anyway, Breakout is this video game where there's like, I don't know if I
it's
would
Pong
say,
for losers.
It's Pong for people
who don't have another friend.
It does kind of feel like though someone was like, oh, this is Pong, but like you for one person.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like the it's basically wall ball where it's
I'd like to play some Pong. Table for two, sir. No, for one. let me direct you to is Breakout okay? It's like when they ask you is bar seating okay when you go to a restaurant by yourself.
So basically, Breakout is you have like a little paddle at the bottom of the screen with a little ball on it, and then you shoot the ball up at like a wall of bricks that are in different shapes and patterns, and basically your goal is to break all the bricks. Like when the ball hits the brick, it breaks the brick, and then it bounces back towards you. And I think the ball gets faster as well.
Yeah, for every brick that you break, the ball velocity gets a little bit faster. Can we talk about one of the greatest feelings in video game history? Which is carving a narrow channel.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they made okay, everyone just lean back, close your eyes, and imagine this. You're carving
that. Can you do this in ASMR voice, Freddie?
Yeah. You just use that ball and you carve a little channel through all the way to the ceiling. The path is clear, the angle is just right. And then it bounces back and forth all the way into the ceiling, and then it just goes. And it's just up there. Yeah,
it's just the bouncing around, just knocking down all the bricks. From the
ceiling,
top.
The ceiling's playing Breakout by itself. You don't even have to worry about it. It's just doing its job for you. It's wonderful. Okay, so it's a very popular video game, and now we got to figure out how this is going to be a movie.
I think the solution here
is space.
Is to not do it literally. It's like metaphorically what is...
I always imagined, and I could have sworn, I think there was like a cover art for some version of like a Game Boy game or one of the many hundreds of remakes of Breakout. I could have sworn one of them was the paddle you had was like a cool spaceship and you were piloting it, like an intergalactic spaceship. So it was like... The bricks
Nintendo,
or whatever.
The Nintendo cover.
Yeah, okay, cool. So yeah, it's like the bricks or whatever were like invaders from space that were coming down. And the government came up with a super cool, you know, spaceship that would throw a, you know, a ball of antimatter, something so powerful that could destroy these things. And this ship was the only thing that would knock it. And then the danger of it is like, if you miss and that thing goes fucking flying back to Earth, you just made a massive asteroid that's going to destroy a city. So it's high stakes.
I'm going to throw the exact opposite idea at you, which is what it, because you guys, I think you stumbled into something with this idea of the Breakout is Pong for lonely people. Uh-huh. So what if it's a rom-com set in the world of 1970s arcade culture?
Okay.
And like our main guy is like, you know, he plays Breakout by himself at home because he doesn't have anybody. But then,
And then space... ships are coming to be invaded. Like, we need somebody who is a hero at Pong. And this Zero becomes a hero? Is that what you're saying, Will?
I was going to say, like, his Atari breaks, and he's got to go to the arcade to play Breakout, and then, you know, maybe he meets someone else who's, you know, and then they play Pong together.
And then you...
Then you have the girl. The girl needs a partner for her Pong doubles tournament, right? Because she's super competitive and she's trying to get back at her ex-boyfriend who dumped her. This is like that Frasier episode where he and Niles have the squash are on a squash team together, and Niles does it. But yes, you do. So you do. Her boyfriend dumped her to go play with someone else in the Pong tournament. So she needs someone else to get revenge, right? And then she's like, who am I going to play with? And no one wants to play with her. And then she sees this guy who's playing Breakout, and she's like, hot crackers. Those Breakout skills would be really good at Pong. And so she's got to convince him to play Pong on her team. And really, like, he's got to, like, learn to open up to other people. And, like, she's got to learn to, like, get over her ex. And the two of them are going to fall in love.
Okay, so they play Breakout. He does play Breakout. This isn't about somebody developing Breakout.
No. That's what I'm saying. It's a guy who's a loner who plays Breakout by himself because he's afraid of getting hurt by other people.
So we follow him to the arcade, and then he sees a bunch of people playing Pong, and they're like, woo, we're having such a great time.
You know, the Pong arcades in the 70s, those huge...
They had Pong arcade cabinets!
No, I'm saying, like, I'm imagining an entire location, an entire retail space dedicated to... In the same way you can go to the park, and there's rows of tennis courts...
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the arcade and there's rows of Pong.
Okay. Well, to go with this, okay, a romantic comedy set in the 1970s that's about Breakout.
So, but yeah, you retro. Would do that. It's like, okay, hear me out. So it's this.
The only thing I'm trying to, okay, there's two questions I have. One, and this is going to sound nitpicky, but we're going to set it. Was there doubles Pong? I don't think there was.
There was two. Oh, I see what you mean. Shit, you're right.
I don't think there was. I think like much, much later or
Matt.
Like.
You can turn it clockwise and alternate anti-clockwise.
You played against each other. It was like
comparing. Wait. Pong Doubles was produced by Atari in 1973, a follow-up game to Pong, but built for four people.
Oh, okay.
So two people on one side of the thing?
It's the launch.
3 years.
It's the launch of Pong Doubles.
Breakout, if we're still doing Breakout, not Pong.
Mm-hmm. Breakout came out after.
Yeah, Breakout came out in 1976.
So yeah. So
Pong Doubles has been around for 3 years.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's been like a Pong. We don't have to do this. I'm just saying.
No, I'm pulling along with this. So, okay. So there's like, their Pong's Doubles is all over the city. Couples come together and couples fight other couples as though...
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to be couples. It can be you and your friend.
Well, like, sure. I meant couples. By couples,
Pong
I didn't
Doubles
mean,
for lovers I by Atari.
I didn't necessarily mean romantic couples, but, you know, a pair.
Yes.
Two people. Friends.
Yeah.
Friends, lovers, whatever. They come together and they play. So it's four people having a great time. And then this fucking loser... is playing the game that Steve Jobs was too dumb to come up with by himself.
So he plays console games by himself in his house, maybe, or whatever, right? I'm not saying we don't have to, we even figure out the character details in a second. But yes, it's someone who, like, his favorite game is Breakout. He likes playing it by himself at home, and then his butt munch, a younger brother, spills high C all over the Atari, and it gets fried, right? And now if he wants to get that sweet Breakout action, he's got to go play the arcade version of Breakout at the arcade. So
his like best friend or his brother, whoever is his like kind of like conscience is like, don't you ever imagine that those bricks there, they're kind of like your shell
And you're just trying to, you need to break out of your shell.
You need to break out of your shell. Like, if you were half as good at breaking out of your shell as you were at Breakout, maybe you wouldn't be such a loser.
Maybe you wouldn't have to play Breakout all the time.
You have to play Breakout all the time.
You guys got that, right? You wrote that down?
Yeah, that's actually the poster tagline.
You know, it's like, man must journey from the cave into the forest, right? The arcade is the forest.
Are we implying that Breakout's, like, not a popular game when it comes out?
It's not about whether Breakout is popular or not, right? Breakout's a perfectly
fine game. It's about a...
So what is holding him back?
About someone looking for a partner, you know? And by the way, Pong Doubles looks bullshit. I just watched some video of Pong Doubles. Yeah, imagine how they did it. It's just two things. Battles. And then the best part about Pong Doubles here for your fun training montage where they all, you know, they're stumbling over each other. You do the thing where it hits the back paddle and then he's in the way and it hits the front paddle and they score on themselves. Is that wild?
It's pretty great.
Isn't that crazy that you can score
no.
yourself?
Oh, Freddie, no, but you just stumbled into something. Which is, this is their, I don't know if you can do this in Pong Doubles or not, but this becomes his move with the girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They jack the
speed up.
Yeah, they do the ceiling move, the ceiling bounce, like between two paddles.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
No, I like all that. That's all like, I'm trying to think of what's the dramatic thrust in this romantic comedy.
Okay, sure. But that's like the ultimate move. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's like and they have to move as one. They have to be in complete sync with each other. Otherwise, the ball will bounce out and go down they'll score on themselves.
So
it's a high-risk, high-reward move.
Should we just make a Pong movie?
No, it's the Breakout movie.
Dang.
It's a Breakout.
Hard it's called Breakout.
Where he
and
leaves.
The climax is he does this really cool move in Pong Doubles because he knows about it because he was good at Breakout. It's his Breakout skills coming to play.
No, I like this romantic comedy set in the 1970s. I love it. It does feel like it's a Pong movie.
I will say this.
Which I'm down for, we're doing Pong.
That would be like calling Happy Gilmore a hockey movie. You know what I mean? It's like, you're right. It's his hockey skills that makes him good at golf. But Happy Gilmore's not a hockey movie.
Well, it's like
Cutting Edge being a hockey movie, which is a really sexy movie. Everybody should go see Cutting Edge.
Okay.
Because also the other thing you would do is like, then you can just do really over the top. I love like treating Pong super seriously, like a sport when there's like two things you could do in it. But like, they're like, ooh, at first they just like wildly go in all directions and they're like, wait, we need to separate our skills. You're top, I'm bottom. Ooh, it's like, which player's the top? Which player's bottom? That's the only strategy you can talk about. So the announcer's like, are they going to go with the top and bottom strategy or are they going to not? Like, yeah, it looks like they're going for the top and bottom strategy. But the real question is who's going to be the bottom and who's going to be the top? Okay, I guess he's playing bottom.
Yes, Matt.
just let it go.
Okay, okay.
Oh, I know. That's a sexy innuendo as well. So,
okay.
I'm looking at the Pro Pong meta strats here. So here's what we got from this. No, there is no pro.
To be fair, Matt, that's like saying, oh, how much strategies you have there in tennis? Are you going to be on the left side? I'll be on
the right side. There's a ton of strategy in tennis.
Yeah, because
it's a three-dimensional, and there's like who's going to serve you? Are you going to go two people in front of the net? Are you going to go front of the net? Yes. Are you going to do left and right? Are you going to just hold back and forward? Are you going to again? There's a lot of stuff going on in tennis doubles.
Well, shut up,
Pong. Okay. Are we just doing Pong?
No, this is a Breakout
movie. It's not a Breakout movie, though, because it's a guy who plays Breakout is lonely, and then he's going to, again, like Happy Gilmore being a golf bee, he gets out of his element and then joins the world of Pong to pursue this romantic interest.
Now, I just...
I'm okay by saying this is a Pong movie.
I'm okay with us failing to make a Breakout movie.
What would it be if it was a Pong player going to play Breakout? Because Pong's popular.
Because his Pong double partner gets killed.
Oh, and then can this person... It could be kind of like Forgetting Sarah Marshall. It could be kind of like Cutting Edge later, where it's like there's this partnership that was like they were a pro couple. And they were pro double Pong players. And then there's a breakup and they can't get over it. He's like...
Oh.
And he's a man who's like, again...
And he can't play Pong doubles, the coolest game that everyone remembers with anyone anymore.
Yeah, by himself.
And then doesn't have any friends, so he can't even play normal Pong. He doesn't have anyone to practice normal Pong with.
And chasing the high score, like getting a high score is not the same as defeating your opponent. I can't look at the crying eyes of the high score I beat. Like, so he's like, again,
high score.
So like,
just
instead
numbers,
it's a movie
man.
About like learning to love yourself.
Yeah, learning you know to love
mean?
Yourself.
And, like, break
out of your shell. Break out of your toxic relationship that you had with it.
Your stuff.
Your stuff. Break out of your stuff.
Break out of your stuff.
Okay.
It's a truly one size fits all metaphor.
Okay, how about they're all okay? Here, let me try to square this circle. How about There's this couple, and on their off hours of their job, they are the best pong players, pong doubles out there. And then on the night of their big tournament, right before their job is right at the peak of the stress of their job, where everybody in their job is all just taking a break from the oncoming storm that they're going to have to enter, is she leaves him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but here's the thing. You know what his job is and where their job is?
Sorry.
Is on a big spaceship defending Earth from giant. So see, yeah, Pong is important. Kind of like in Battlestar Galactica when they all box. Pong is your boxing, and these people are on the spaceship that shoots the antimatter ball against the space invaders. Okay.
I am up for the movie having like a series of interpretive dream sequences where the main character is like in a Last Starfighter scenario.
Oh, okay. See, now you got me, because now we're getting into Unfaithful Yours territory. Now we're getting into like a pro gamer, like imagining like scenarios.
The Preston Sturges movie about pro gamers.
About conductor.
Okay, so this is interesting because so Unfaithful Yours, just to bring the audience up to speed, Unfaithful Yours is a Preston Sturges movie where Rex Harrison plays a conductor of an orchestra who suspects that his wife is having an affair with his assistant, and so then the movie is a series of like he kind of, you see him become suspicious of this affair, and then he goes to conduct the orchestra, and then the movie is basically three fantasy sequences as he's conducting three movements of this symphonic piece where he imagines murdering his wife and her lover.
First he imagines murdering his wife and he's like the perfect murder, then he imagines killing himself and giving her money and saying, you're so young, you should go and live beautiful, so he's the martyr. And then he imagines him and the guy getting in like a macho fight over her. So it's just like three different toxic ways to deal with this situation.
And so then basically the end of the movie is like, after conducting, he tries to do all three, basically. You see him in rapid succession fuck up miserably at trying to do the perfect murder. So then he gets depressed and tries to kill himself. And then his wife like is like, what the fuck are you doing? And then
he's like, let's fight over this. And she's like, what? There's nothing going on. I love you. He's like, oh, okay. I'm a big dumb idiot.
And then it's still kind of like, this should probably have.
Yeah, it's a great study of just insecurity.
You could do It's Unfaithfully Yours, but it's the world's greatest breakout player who is going to perform Breakout. He's gonna get a kill screen, a perfect score in Breakout, and the entire arcade is showing up to watch him attempt this, right? And then, like, maybe the movements are through the different levels, but then it just feels like we're just doing Unfaithfully Yours.
It'd also be like, again, Unfaithfully Yours is essentially just it's an examination of how insecure. Again, he's a confident man on the top of the world. He's the best conductor in Europe. He's beloved by everybody. He's got this gorgeous young wife, and he's just an insecure baby. So the whole movie's about study of that. So it'd be like, what are you examining if you're going to do something like that? And then yes, obviously the fun of Unfaithfully Yours is you can do different classical pieces like set to these fantasies. It's not quite the same as like Beep Boops. Unless you're going to do like, what are the different visual representations of Breakout? Like one is like all abstract and it's like his heart is like bouncing back, you know, anxiety and stuff coming at it. And he's trying to break away, you know, the anxiety falling down his soul. And then one is like a literal space invasion. And another one is, you know, all the fans coming at him and he's overwhelmed by fame. So he can kind of like do like.
And he has to break through the crowd. And then when he gets to the back, he's able to kill everyone in the crowd. Sorry, what is this metaphor?
Well, you would play in all the different dark fans. It'd be like all of a sudden halfway through you get into the Animatrix, but like a shitty version of Animatrix with all breakout.
So the Animatrix.
There's a part of Breakout we haven't discussed yet.
All of it?
No, I just want to throw this out there. Remember that there were power-ups in Breakout.
In the original? Not in the original.
Yes, Arkanoid had power-ups. At the original Breakout, no, we can go into power-ups.
Like the sticky,
but
sticky
power. In the words of Lipton Brisk Iced Tea, save some of that for the sequel.
They didn't even know what power-ups were until like the 80s. Like, games like barely got by with the thing.
Which, by the way, coincided with the rise and use of steroids in sports. Interesting.
So
yes, Ray, there are. Where are you going with that?
I was just saying that, like, I really like the sticky paddle one.
I was thinking about how you need to hold the ball on the bottom.
My
I can imagine
how
cool that would be if it was like a spaceship and they were like, hit the antimatter, like, and they hold the ball, like, hold, hold it to the white of their eyes, damn it.
my favorite breakout.
The antimatter's going to blow up the ship if we hold on to it any longer.
My favorite breakout power up.
Hold.
My favorite breakout power up was the one that just gave you two guns. Remember, there's one that's just like, cool, now you have guns and you can shoot these things. It's like, why didn't I have guns in the first place?
Oh, and then you do, sorry.
Or there's multi-ball was a power-up too, right? Where it would be like, you'd get like multiple balls going.
Here's what you do is, behind the storm, there's the mothership that's invincible. And they're like, there's nothing we can do, we're going to lose. And they're like, wait, we use the mothership against them. And the mothership essentially acts like the ceiling and they carve a perfect tunnel. And they're like, if the ball can't blow up the mothership, it'll just bounce right back. And then they do the ceiling hit against the mothership and they destroy the entire army, and it's just them and the mothership. And it's like, now what do we do? And then cliffhanger, because it's a TV series. That was just a pilot.
That's the end of season 4 on the Netflix show.
Okay. I'm lost.
All right, we've got...
I have no problem thinking about a romance. I just want it to be about at least involve Breakout Beyond. He stops playing Breakout right away.
That'd be such a good bait and switch for so many video game movies.
Yep.
Like, you're like, we're doing the Assassin's Creed movie, and it's just a guy who plays Assassin's Creed in the first act before he goes on to do the rest of the movie.
It's like, that new Tomb Raider movie was weird. It's just this like girl who has a job at a pizza place, and she's biking, and she's all badass, and she looks like Lara Croft, and then she came home and played Lara Croft, and somebody's like, hey, stop playing video games and go get that pilot license you always wanted. And then she just became a pilot. It was all about her struggling to become a pilot in this like male-dominated world. It's very different than I thought.
It's called Amelia Earhart. It's like such a weird movie.
To be fair, it was probably the best video game movie.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I don't. I mean, it does sound like we came up with a pretty good Pong Doubles movie, but
yeah, Pong's Double movie. I mean, I like the idea of doing like a.
You know,
again, I like
Tending
Edge. I like Tin Cup. I like romantic sports movies.
It's hard to do a movie about a game where it's such a solitary endeavor, right? Like, because it's hard to do a movie where it's like no other people involved. You have to figure out how to get other people involved.
Well, they do it in like King of Kong and stuff. Like, it's a character study of that individual. And like,
yeah,
no,
I mean,
but King of Kong is about the King of Kong is about him versus the other guy.
Sure, but you could have a breakout tournament. But then you're just doing an esports tournament movie. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can do them. Just those sort of movies are like Free Solo or whatever. They're all about, if you're gonna do something about something that solitary endeavor, it's gonna be about what are they willing to give up for this solitary endeavor? Why does it matter to them so much? You start breaking down the character of why this like seemingly stupid thing.
Yeah, but like
their entire
playing
life.
Breakout's not the same as summoning El Cap without a rope.
Well, I mean, yes, no, I agree. That's like the
okay,
fun.
So what if? All right, so aliens surround the Earth, and here's what I'm going to propose. It's like this massive, almost like a Dyson sphere, like a massive structure that encapsulates the Earth, right, to trap us, and then they're, going to kill us somehow, or going to take, they're whatever. But you would do, like, they start the breakout protocol, right? And the only thing that can break through these trilinium superconductive metal plates is, like, a ball of pure antimatter from the Large Hadron Collider.
Mm-hmm.
And then the risk is if that ball hits the Earth, you're going to wipe out millions of people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, that ball's going to go... It's like, because, what happens when the ball goes past the little brick, right?
You lose.
Yes.
And
so
you lose Earth.
And then you lose Earth. So then, yes, so there are two ways to do this. You could do a Last Starfighter type scenario where then a plucky young breakout player has to.
I like that it's actually that breakout is a thing in this world. So they're like, so we're doing breakout. Because what you do is, imagine this, it's just Armageddon, but instead of oil drillers, it's video game players. And they're like, it's easier to teach video game players how to fly a spaceship than it is to teach you NASA nerds how to be the best at breakout.
You know what it is? It's like, ladies and gentlemen, this is Breakout, but not in the two dimensions that you're used to. This is three dimensional. Each nation must nominate a champion.
Oh, there's like
because it's like right, like because you can't cover America can only cover the North. It's like, I got the North American sphere. It's like I'm the Europeans. We will cover the sphere here.
Oh, and then you have that moment where they're like, God damn it, you guys! All because you nations can work together. We lost Iceland.
Oh, and like, each one has a different thing. So it's like the U.S. one has guns.
I really like this Armageddon riff because here's what you do: it's again the scientists find out this is happening. They don't have a solution. So you have that moment where like. Then the head scientist like goes back home and he's like watching sees his wife. She's like, oh, how was work today? And
is this
like,
still the 70s?
He realizes that the world's ending, right? He doesn't know how to tell his family. He like goes to his kid, he like pats him on the head. He's like,
what you playing?
I love you, son. And then he looks up, he's like, hey, what are you playing? And he's watching his kid play Breakout. And his eyes light up and he has the idea. And then he gets like the president of the United States, like, I have something to show you. Here's my plan. And he puts up Breakout. Like, what the fuck is that? That's what my kid plays. He's like, exactly, but think about it. And then they explain it, like, my God. But this game's really difficult. And then, like, the top, like, general's like, let me give it a try. And he fails. He's like, oh, this is stupid. Let's just shoot tanks at it. And like, no, we need somebody who's good at Breakout. Where do we find somebody like that? And then, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, and then you cut to your main character.
Skateboarding in suburbia, you know what I mean? We hear the sound.
He's got a single mom and dad issues, and he just moved to a new neighborhood, and there's a cute girl next door.
What's that? Did he grab on the back of a car? He doesn't give no fucks.
He draws equations on the back of that skateboard.
We hear distant the sound of skateboard wheels on concrete as we smash cut to... Give me a name.
Joe Everteen.
Rex Everteen skateboarding and eating a slice of pepperoni pizza with one hand and throwing the horns in the other
He's like one of those kids. Like, I feel like 80s movie kids, they never had time to sit down and eat something. So it was always like the toast shoots right out up and he grabs it in midair. Or the mom is like cooking and then she's got the pancake and she just flips it over her shoulder because like this cool kid's so in sync that it's going to land right on his plate. And he goes, thanks, mom. Like that kind of thing.
The arcade has like it's like steps into the arcade and says, watch your step. And he just ollies over it and almost hits two kids, like, man, that kid's so cool. And then the lady running the arcade is like, hey, you slow down there, Rex Everteen, what you doing? And he slides and he drops in a quarter. Wait a second, what's that on the quarter? A string? He pulls it out. This dude doesn't give a fuck about the rules. And then he starts playing. He's like, hey, you gonna break the high score again today, Rex? And he's like, we'll see.
Not now, it's an off day, Timmy.
Hey, aren't you supposed to be at school? Whatevs, what school?
What school?
And also behind is like, are you Rex Everteen? And he turns around.
Two military dudes.
Two military dudes.
did my dad send you?
Oh, that's right, because his dad was like a...
Tell my dad I'm glad he got divorced from my mom, who's an alcoholic. I don't want to live in the big city with him. I love my small town. It's like, Rex Everteen, you got a lot going on. Are you sure you're going to be able to handle the weight of the world on your shoulders?
He flips.
Like, I guess we'll just have 90 minutes to find that out.
Called in the air, he says. He flips the coin, but before it lands, he flips off the two military officers and takes off down a skateboard. Hey, get him!
He says, fuck you guys. And then what happens? The cops get called. He's like, okay, enough of your coin trick. You're going to prison. It's like, oh, man. He's like, you got calls. Like,
wait a second, your bail's been posted.
Yes. Who's that? The two military guys.
We both paid your bail, half and half, both of us.
But you
splitsies on it.
But you give me that finger again, I'll break it off. You're like, oh shit,
he's got a backstory. Yeah, he's gonna break the kid's finger.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. And
he's like, all right, why don't you nerds? Like, how about this kid? Let me just buy you a cup of coffee.
Yes.
And then they go to a late night diner, and then they're in the diner, and that's when they tell him the lowdown.
And then the two military, and then the kid's like, give me a day to think about it. He's like, okay, and they're driving off, and the military guy talks to the main military guy. He's like, hey, you think he's going to do it? Yeah. Hey, are you okay? Why? I mean, I couldn't help but notice the resemblance. And the guy's like, he looks kind of like your son. Don't say his name to me. And you're like, oh shit, this military guy lost his son a long time ago.
Can we cut back very briefly back into the diner? And in the diner, the military guy goes like, so kid, you must have noticed what's going on. Psh, I barely have time to look outside with all the video games I play. You must have noticed that the sky is now completely black and the sun is missing, right?
The stars left. Everybody leaves eventually, old man.
Well, it turns out it's aliens. It's aliens who've covered our entire planet.
It's like, because that's the thing that happens. That sounds a lot like your problem. kid, just give it a chance. And then he says like something deep that like reminds the kid of like, something from his past.
And the kid's on the way out, the kid like seems like, does he get it? Maybe. He's like, psh, thanks for the fries, Poindexters, as he ollies out.
Wait, he's like, the aliens are going to destroy Earth. He's like, all right, how much time do I have? They're like, well, the Earth has, no. How much time do I have to beat this high score? Because that's the only thing I care about, Buster. It's like, the world's going to end in two days. Well, it looks like I got some gaming to do. It's like, man, this kid doesn't care about anything.
Then he goes up to mountain point where, he used to have high great picnics point. With his family, before his dad left. And then he looks up at the stars and he sees nothing. Yeah.
He sees an empty picnic basket.
And then he sees like there's a tree up there where a tire swing, and he needs to do a little flashback thing.
It'd be something like his mom says something about like, I remember seeing the Big Dipper for the first time when you were born. And he's like, man, I don't care if I live or die, but my mom sure cares if she lives or dies. So maybe I'm going to do this for my mom.
This one's for you, mom. You've always been there.
Yeah. But then this kid's going to learn that. It's like, no, he's got to love himself.
Because it's like he goes home. It's a classic thing, right? Like he goes home and his mom's asleep in front of the TV. And he like looks at her and smiles, and he's got a little tender side, and he like puts a blanket over her. This is also him saying goodbye because he's got to go save the world. And for all the people in this town.
And the news reports like aliens have blacked out Earth's sky. We have no idea what's going on. And then we cut to the exact same scene in other countries. So it's just in Asia.
You do that
the
nine
exact
times.
Same
no,
scene.
No, what I like is you do Barry. You could do that, or you could do exactly Armageddon. This kid's Bruce Willis, and they come up. He's like, "Fine, I'll save your goddamn world for you, NASA." But I got one request. Well, he's like, "I gotta get my own team." What are you talking about? It's like, you think it's easy to teach NASA's you Poindexters how to play breakout?
Okay. All right,
I'm gonna have to go get the best breakout players in the world. And then one of the kids is the high score he's ever been able to beat. So that's like their.
Oh, you know what? Because this kid. All right. So here's what you do. Yeah. So you do like the next day he ollies out of there and he goes to the military base. Right. And they're like waiting at their watch. Like, you think he's going to show them? Like, I think he just did. And he just fucking gleamed the cube on the back of a military Jeep and skateboards up. And he's like, what's up, nerds? Let's do this. And then he goes in and he sees all the military guys. These fucking Green Berets
are practicing.
Like, America's heroes are trying to play breakout. None of them can do it. He's like, Jesus Christ, you have 2 days. You're not going to be able to fucking.
Oh, yeah. That moment where like somebody plays chess with 20 people at once. Like, he's just walking by. He's like, always hit the left corner. He goes by. He's like, oh, you can't do that. And he's just going through. He's like, shit, this kid is good.
He's like, we're never going to be able to train military guys in time. Well, we need to get the best breakout players in the world. It's like, how are we going to get all the best breakout players in the world? And you find out he's on a BBS bulletin board. Early proto internet where he
breakout
chats.
Bulletin board.
He does the chats with all of the other breakout pros. That's where they talk about tips and strats and there's that mysterious girl in the chat. Comments. Who's always like, I wonder if she'll show.
He's like, I just really wish that this girl would let me put animal crackers on her tum tum.
So anyway, he puts the message out, and then you cut to around the world, all of these kids grabbing their pogo sticks and skateboards.
And then you have that scene where they're like, before we do this, we all have some requests, and most of them are just like, I want a new joystick, and they're all like normal kids things, but then one kid's like, he wants to not pay taxes for 25 years. Essentially, it's just the Steve Buscemi character. So it's like, he wants to get rid of...
Can I say that the
one kid has a Rubik's Cube, right?
The most...
To show he's smart.
Yeah.
To show he learned 8 algorithms.
The line in Armageddon where he's like, I don't want to pay taxes. Ever is maybe the most dad uncle.
Oh, so
like
good.
So many dads and uncles are like, yeah,
yeah.
Woo!
I hope that guy never dies.
I love it. You get it because I hate paying taxes.
Hey, dad, how do you think NASA got that spaceship in the first place? Asshole.
Yeah,
taxes.
Fucking idiot.
I don't think the line was that he didn't think taxes were good.
No,
he just didn't want to pay them anymore.
No, I know.
Which
but
I think
is... it's great. It's a great movie.
I really wish there was a pro scoop. Because who is that? Is that Steve Buscemi in the movie?
No, it's...
Guys, we were on a speed run.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay, so
yes, the kid shows up.
The kid shows up. He's got the... Okay, so yeah. So
he sends military choppers.
Yeah,
he sends military choppers to all the places in the world where all of his buddy in Singapore, the kids in Sweden,
His arch rival.
His arch rival, the guy who can't ever beat the high score, the girl he can't ever beat the high score of. There should be a kid who was his best friend, because you all have that best friend that moved.
Yeah.
Oh, when you're young.
It's like
his best
friend. They were best friends over breakout, and then he moved that same summer. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't seen this friend for a long time. Or it could be
and
the
he
romantic
has, like, a little
interest.
Shitty mustache and smokes.
It's
now.
Not like it could be the romantic interest. It'd be like, I remember the first girl I had a crush on left. Like, I liked her all first grade, and then she moved. It's like, oh, that. I guess that's how it works. I guess that's how love works.
Well, yeah, so. Yeah. Or it's like, you know, it, you do the like the classic, like, you know, they were friends when they were like 10.
Yeah.
Right. And then like, you know, she had a crush on him and he was like, whatever, I'm too cool.
Yeah.
And then like they're 16 now and she's like super hot. Like she's like, yeah. She like, and then now he's got a crush on her and she's like, whatever, like whatever. Deal with it. I'm over you. I'm or whatever.
I feel like yeah, you yeah. change those ages though for they were friends at 6 and now they're like 11. I feel like these kids, I feel like this is funnier if all these kids are like snotty ass 8th graders.
That's very true. That's a very good point. No kid in this movie is over 13.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yes. They're like, you're not even teenagers yet. You're still that weird 11. Like, what do you call 11 and 12 year olds? We're calling your savior, motherfucker. He flips a cigarette. He's like, you're not supposed to be smoking. Even in the 70s, we know 10 year olds should not
That's
smoke.
The line. Even us in the 70s know that. Okay. All right.
Can we have a scene where he gets really intense and he puts another pair of fingerless gloves on? Over but his existing pair.
He's like, no, you do. He's like, this shit's getting real. And then he puts the fingers over
oh my
the
God.
Rest of the fingerless gloves.
Oh my God. Then, he puts the fingers on.
He's like, I better thumb up.
Better finger
then,
up.
But then, yes, you have this military general who is essentially, you would just do, he had this broken family. He lost his son a long time ago. And all he's ever wanted to do is avoid any of this stuff. And now he's forced with essentially taking care of a whole group of kids and dealing with all their kids'
oh,
stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
It's
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
like
yeah,
your
yeah,
main,
yeah.
It's kind of like your mentor character or whatever that they have to deal with. This fucking Sergeant, it's like Sergeant Payne or whatever, Major Payne.
No, I've never seen this. It'd be so good to just play this completely straight. Like, you always see, like, it's the guy or the girl and her husband or her wife left and they're angsty about it. Or you see the kid and there's like, yeah, my dad or my mom bailed on me and they got issues about it. You do this adult, like this grown ass man who's like, oh, I don't like kids ever since my kid walked out on me. It's just like, my kid said he was going out to play at his friend's house. He just never came back. He's just been there. Like, dude, find your kid.
His kid said, I'm going to the arcade because I like video games more than my family. So this guy specifically hates video games. Specifically, like, video games rot kids' brains. And now this NASA scientist
video
just told his general
family.
That the only way to save the Earth
is with
a bunch
games.
Of kids to play video games. So this fucking general is just over it. He just can't handle it, but he's in charge. The president of the United States is like, suck it up. I don't
oh,
give a
you
shit
totally
what's going on.
You're
going
to have to do like his or her emotional climax is one of the radical teens breaks their thumb.
Oh, he's got
to
step
he's
in.
They got to get in there. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, it's just like, and it's because he's been watching, you know? Yeah.
I have a question for you, Major Payne. How come you...
just Major Payne.
You remember that movie? Major Payne is, how come you never played video games with your kid? He wells up. He's like, I don't know, but I sure wish I did. He's like, well, it's never too late.
He sits down. Here's what you do. This is how you bring it all around for the main guy, for the military guy, is you do, he was a shitty dad, his kid... never, you know, always played video games instead. Mm-hmm. And they got into a fight one night, mm-hmm. and the kid ran off to go to the arcade to play video games. Mm-hmm. The last thing he said to him was, I love video games more than you. And then he got abducted by the aliens.
Oh! So wait, so then the aliens realize what they're doing. And they're like, wait a second, now that it's different today, the aliens. It's kind of like an Ender's Game when like the hive mind kind of responds to their tactics. Like, how do the aliens even know about Breakout? And then they look in their space telescope. And what's that in the bridge of the mothership?
Oh.
It's his son strapped into a machine playing. Now he's like, now we can't just kill the mothership. My son's in there, goddammit.
Oh, and here's what you do. They've got, because you're like, why would
this? This has just turned into a rescue mission.
Oh, shit. They gotta go. Oh, and then they put all the kids in one of the little balls, and yes. then they've got a lot of kids.
They bounce the ball onto the mothership.
Okay, so hear me out, because here's what you do. That's awesome. I fucking love that. And then you do, like, this is another part of the climax for the main guy, is you would do, he realizes, like, the sun, like, how are they convincing this kid to blow up the Earth? Well, they're not. They've got him rigged up to, like, it's like in AI, everyone's favorite scene, the last scene in AI, where the future robots are like, we're going to let you, like, recreate. They're going to put, so they've got him, his brain jacked up to some machine, and he's in a little fantasy. And what's he doing in the fantasy?
Playing
video games with his dad.
Dude, that's so good.
Oh.
So Major Payne
fucking John Wicks through this whole spaceship. Just killing
that's it. They launch
right.
Major Payne up into space.
Yes.
That's what they
just
do. Yeah.
As they're defending Earth. So he's got two action scenes going on at once. And then Major Payne's like destroying the spaceships. And then he looks and he sees his son. And what does he see on the monitor? He sees his son playing with him. And now Major Payne has a choice. He can enter this illusion with him and just live happily forever after. And or break the kid out and like deal with the fact that his kid's going to be mad at him. And he's got to fucking just deal with the fact that he's like, hey, I'm your dad and we're gonna work this shit out.
It'd be great. Yeah, it'd be great. It's the way it works is like the alien defense matrix. it stays up as long as there's still one like power node still working, which is why they have to clear out the entire atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But it's like, we'll save yours for last. You know, it's like,
oh, yeah. And it's like, try to give him as much time as possible. Because that's the other ticking clock. Is like, he's in the center of the thing, but like, he's going to blow up. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, because he doesn't trust the kids. And then the final moment, Major Payne's at the bridge and he sees what his kid is strapped into. And he's got the gun pointed to like the head alien's head. And he's like, you can shoot me now. But you know that those kids below, they're not going to stop us. This Earth is destroyed. So you got two options. Do you go down with them? Or I promise you, you can step into that machine with your kid and live happily ever after. Just playing games with him for the rest of your life. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Are you really going to risk giving that up for a bunch of children that you know are a bunch of assholes that are going to screw this up? Do you trust them or not? And then they're down there be like, we're not going to make it. It's like, can Major Payne hold on much longer? And then like they both have this coming to moment and he's got to trust the kids that he, here's what you do.
Here's what you do. Yes. This is very good. Because you do, this is right at the low point, essentially. Yeah. Right? And then you would do that. Okay, this is something like this. This is very tricky. But you would do, one of the kids on the BBS is like his arch rifle, right?
BBS.
The BBS.
The breakout bulletin board.
The BYOB BBS.
Yeah. Bring your own breakout to the bulletin board service.
Okay. So, yes, you do that. One of the kids, like his arch rival, is the one no show, right? Mm-hmm. And then you find out the reason he's a no show is because it's the fucking general's son. Who's the other greatest breakout player on Earth. And so when they deploy their super weapon, this other kid who's rigged up to the fucking Akira cyberpunk machine.
Is the Kai who's never beat the high score of.
Yeah, and then he's got his own cannon and he's launching his own balls.
Yeah.
And now it's like a multi-ball thing.
Yes.
Because yes, essentially what you would do is the aliens, once they realize what's going on, they capture one of the Destructo orbs, right? And so then they reverse engineer it.
Oh, they don't realize. Every time they think they lose their antimatter ball, so they make another one. Like, we only have a few left, and like, we didn't lose them, they were catching them. Also, yeah. The mothership opens up, and there's all these balls that go boom, 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 and they start shooting them. So, yes, it's multi ball, yeah, defense mode. They got
well, then
break
yes,
up.
You would do it. Okay.
Oh, the big ship sprints up into a bunch of smaller ships, so now their breakout paddle is really tiny, like just the size of the ball, and all the kids are having to work separately, but
and they're moving,
yeah.
Like, okay, so yes, and here's what you do but then realizing that that's how they capture the balls, that's how they realize they can launch Major Payne up there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or that's what Major Payne realizes. He's like, here's what you do. Major Payne realizes, like, he's like, we're doomed. These kids are going to fuck up. So he's going to go on a suicide mission. So he brings like a bomb into this pod and he's just going to sneak in there and not tell anybody. And then, of course, he runs into the main character. And then he's like, you got to let me go. We got to do this, man. And then he's like, yeah, he's like, vaya con Dios, sir. They load him up into the pod. He shoots up there. And then, yes, now this is your low point where it's multi ball, right?
Yeah.
All the kids were all mad at each other over some fight they had in the third act, have to work together to all defend one sector.
Yeah.
As they're all bouncing these balls around and they got to make sure not to hit them between each other. It's chaos up there. And then he goes up to find the core of the mothership to blow it up. And then when he gets up there, what does he find? He finds his son rigged up to this machine. You know, he's the neural nexus controlling all of it, right? And then, yes, the alien offers him this choice. He's like, are you really going to blow us up? You're going to kill your son? Like, you know, it's like, or what do you want to do? You could step in here and have a good relationship with your son in this thing. And then instead, he busts his kid out and then they go on this place of glory.
And then we do it. So with Rex Evitine, I think what you do is
he's the loner, right?
So his arc would be his dad flamed out. His dad just left because things were tough. Again, they were having financial crisis. He gave up, essentially. And you'd have this moment where, like, you have the bonding moment with Rex Evitine and Major Payne, where it's like, I just don't get why my kid played video games so much. Like, what is it about this game? And Rex Evitine kind of finally expresses what it is. He's like, you know, like, my mom was having troubles. We were having financial troubles. School was just too much. And, like, I just didn't deal with it. And, like, you know, I kind of imagine those bricks coming down are just all the problems in life. And in this game, I can control it. Like, in this game, I can break away all the things that are coming over. So when I feel overwhelmed, like, I just would play Breakout. Mm-hmm. This would be what it is. And then he's like, you know, kid, that's great. But sometimes, you know, life's always going to get hard. It's not all the video game. And the reason he always loses is that at a certain point, while he's playing, he does get too stressed out and it overwhelms him. And just like in the real world, he loses focus and he finally drops the ball, like in the game. Mm-hmm. So you would have this moment where he's playing and it's like, they're like, the whole world's at stake. Like, his mom, like, everything's coming down. And then, like, you know, teachers are like, you got an F on this paper. Like, everything comes to him at once. And he's about to lose focus again. He's about to crumble. And he's like, no, breathe in, breathe out. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, you're going to solve it. It's okay.
Well, so there's a couple things, right? So, for one, yes, I love that. Mm. And then I think you also do that. It's also for him, he's a loner, right? Yeah. And so it's about asking for help.
Yes.
Right?
You can't do it all on your own.
Yeah, and then
all the teens or all the preteens.
So yes, he's about to, it's Rex versus his friend, right? Mm-hmm. Or the his arch rival is shooting all these balls at him. He's totally overwhelmed. And then right at his lowest moment, who is that coming over the horizon? It's all his buddies who come to help him, yes. Right? Or something like that.
Yeah, he's not on his own. Even if like the dad left, it's like he's got his mom, he's got his friends. Like it's up to him. Like he's the only person he's the reason he's alone. Like he can do it with
us. Yeah. Instead of pushing other people away,
You got the two character moments. Like he realizes he's gonna have to deal. He found his kid, but he's not gonna do what he normally did, which is pretend everything was okay and step back into it and like play video games with his dad. Like he regrets that, and he's gonna have to fix it. He's gonna save his kid, and then him and his kid are gonna have to work their shit out. This kid's gonna get over, you know, his dad leaving and the stress of the world. And realize like he can't do this all on his own. The real world's not Breakout, right? Essentially, it's like Breakout's like a good stress reliever, but it can't be the thing that you use to
escape
reality.
It's not stress solver.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, yes. Stress reliever, not stress solver. And then they save the world.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's like Armageddon.
I think the last part is like he's trying to rescue son, and they've harnessed the capture tech. Mm-hmm. So all the kids from all around the world are using their paddles to like hold the last ball of antimatter. Like we can't hold this much longer. It's like buy him time, and they're aimed at the very last thing, right? That's your big like.
Oh, they hang because they do a sticky ball thing. Yeah. I mean, they hang on to so long that they're risking blowing themselves up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's like Toy Story 3, they all hold each other's hands or whatever.
Yeah.
And the ship does blow up, but they barely survive. And then when the kid's getting pulled into the hospital because they're going to repair him, he's like, hey, doc, I have a scar right here, but I don't need it anymore. And they go, what? He's like, you know, like that movie Face Off that comes out 30 years.
He gets the idea.
Oh, you know what they do?
The end is he sees the face of God and gets the idea for Face Off.
Oh, no, they blow it up. And then, but the major and his son, he's escaping with him, and they get into another ball. Oh my God, it's a double climax. Wait. They get into a nuclear ball that drops from the mothership, and they're like, oh shit, we got to bat this into space. They're like, no, the major's in there. We got to catch this ball on the way down as it's going towards like Washington.
Yeah, what do they catch it with?
Their paddles.
Their paddles, and then what do they do with it?
Then they save the major.
This and nuclear bomb needs to be disarmed. This nuclear bomb can only be disarmed by a hug between a father and son.
Yeah, exactly.
Son's like, nah, dad, you never played video games with me. You even had a chance to play video games with me forever from an alien, and you still didn't do that.
No, here's what you do. This is it. Because I was like, I like this moment of him having to breathe and clear out, right? Mm-hmm. And like block the anxiety out or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that is, you say that's his use of the force moment, right? Mm-hmm. So you would do like, there's the low moment where he needs help, where everyone comes to his aid, right? And he realizes that he can't do it on his own, right? That's before then, right? And it's like when all of his friends come back, you know, and stop the thing from blowing up, right? And so then you would do that moment, but then you do, so they're fighting together in the climax with the power of love. You do, everything's blowing up. So you do, the major's hurtling back towards the Earth, right? And then it's like, oh shit, like, is he just gonna crash and explode on the Earth, right? And then you do, the sky is now filled with debris from the alien ship, right? So it's like, it's impossible to see what's going on. And it's like that catch, like, are you gonna be able to make that crucial clutch catch? And he's freaking out, because this is the major. He's not going to be able to save him. And then, like, his friends put their hands on him, like, on his shoulders, and then, like, he breathes, he centers himself, and he's able to do that one last thing, right?
Yeah, he's flashing back to, like, the championship he lost when he got overwhelmed and everything, and then, he has
all these flashbacks, but then he has all these flashbacks of, like, the positive things he's learned along the way. Like, those moments he was able to stop and smell the roses, right? He's able to turn his sort of negative shame anxiety spiral around, and then as he comes to that moment, you know, and he has, like, this flood of positive memories, he focuses. He makes the catch, and then
the final climax. They already saved the world, but what we care most about is he's going to save the major and his son.
Yes.
And then he remembers when he told Major Payne there was a monster in his closet, and then Major Payne shot the closet a bunch of times, and it's super funny. It's like that big trailer moment that everybody remembers.
And
then,
of course, you do if Independence Day taught us anything, there's nothing better than the people came back from the fucking space mission. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the two guys who didn't like each other the whole time, like, he gets out of the ball, and then, like, Rex is there, and then they walk up to each other and shake hands. Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe video games aren't so bad after all.
Yeah, exactly. This is a dope-ass movie.
Yeah, it kind of got there.
Yeah, kind of got there. We got there from, like, right away and then just speed run it.
So let me see if I can walk through.
Yeah, let's walk through it because I don't know how nonsensical that was to listen to.
It was pretty nonsensical.
So here's what was the saving grace of that one. Because, like, when you were like, oh, we should do, like, it's literally, I was like, I can't bring myself to do a fucking Last Starfighter movie. Are you kidding me? So I think getting into it is, like, sort of like an ironic riff. Like, we're not going to do this, but wouldn't it, like, this would totally be what happens. Like, that's a nice way to back yourself into it without like offending your ego.
So It starts with Rex every teen.
Also, like, should Rex be a girl? Should the main guy be a woman? I feel like this is like pretty much a sausage fest right now.
Yeah, I would do Major Payne. Do Major Payne as a guy and his son, his father son story,
and then Rex every teen
it's a Roxanne every teen.
Roxanne every teen.
Yeah.
Okay. Roxy every teen.
Roxy every
teen. Roxy's a cool name. Okay.
Yeah. So all right. you got a mother daughter story and a father son story.
Listen, fingerless gloves can be worn by anybody.
Okay. So yes. So Roxy every teen. Is
after we've had the intro where you establish that aliens are coming and NASA's like, oh my god, we're doomed, how can we possibly do this? And they're like, we're gonna have to do Breakout. Where did we find a Breakout star? Cut to,
she's in Act One, she's skateboarding, flipping people off and playing video games,
skipping school,
she's got angst because her pops left. And then you do the government comes calling and they're like, and then she tells them to fuck off because, you know, I didn't know
she tells her to fuck off because is she's cool, but the real reason is because she can't handle anything. Like, that sounds, it sounds scary and stressful.
Yeah,
and
again, responsibility.
She's she doesn't know how to handle that. So she puts up a tough demeanor and tells them to fuck off. But it's really because they start telling her how important what she had to do was, and she freaked out.
So yeah, she flips the quarter and runs, and then you have your wacky chase through suburbia that ends with her wrecking into a cop car and getting thrown in jail.
And her mom's like, I can't afford bail. I just don't know what to do with you anymore, Roxanne.
Yeah, you're ever such a rowdy teen with rebellious attitude.
I just wish you would talk to me. I wish you could talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'll be able to pay your bail in like 4 months. So I guess you're in prison for 4 months. It's like,
oh man, there's no video games in prison. And then her bail gets posted by the army guys.
Major Payne.
And Major Payne's like, let me buy you a cup of coffee. Yeah. Right. And she's like, fine. And then they go to the all night diner and then they lay out what's going on about how the stars have wiped out. And she's like, whatever. Everybody leaves. Stars leave. Who gives a shit? And then they're like, think about it. Right. And then she goes up and then, yes, she has her. So this is your kind of act two. Right.
Yeah.
Act two. And then that ends with her, you know, after looking at the stars and putting the blanket over her mom, she's like, I'm going to do this because, you know, fuck it. Why not? Sounds like a badass challenge.
After a vulnerable moment with her mom, she then doubles down on her tough exterior, which is like, if I'm going to do this, you're going to follow my rules because you can't teach NASA people how to play video games.
Yeah,
we need
so
a team.
She gleams the cube over to the local military base where they're setting up Breakout Command.
Yeah.
And of course, none of the fucking nerd Green Beret or Hotshot Air Force pilots can fucking handle the neural load of Breakout. All right,
they pilot the things themselves. They're in them.
Are they in the bricks?
No, I think they're in the paddles.
I think when she first shows up, they're just playing Breakout. They're building.
They're building.
Here's your entry. The hangar opens. There's a giant paddle being made. And from that paddle, there's a bunch of arcade machines. Mm-hmm. And all these should-be pilots are learning and playing. And she's like, if they can't pilot one of those, she points at the arcade machine, how the fuck are they going to pilot one of those? And she points at the paddle.
Also, that's cool, because then she can get into the brick and it has a huge Atari joystick.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, she comes in and like the console actually looks like a space shuttle console. She's like, yeah, we're going to have to change this up. And then it cuts to... They put in a
Lazy Boy and like a 2 liter of Shasta Cola.
Yes, it's very good.
The kids are all putting like Rush mixtapes into their fucking. All right, so okay, cool.
Actually, I drink milk. My mom doesn't let me have caffeine. Then you get all the other kids, and they all have their kind of relationship with each other. They kind of know each other. I like the best friend that she left behind or left her, like a little romantic interest.
And then
the one person who's missing, which we don't know yet, is actually the major son, the one person she could never beat. This, she is second in the world only to Payne Jr.
PJ.
She's like, are we going to be able to do without PJ? And she's like, yeah, but deep down she's a little nervous.
Hoping there'd be somebody
who could get rid of some of the stress because now it's all on her.
All right, so Act 3 starts with the let me assemble my team. And she gets out the BYOBBBBBBBBBBS and everyone shows up. And then it's all these people meeting, all these radical tweens are like training together.
Yep.
And this is like they're going to have to learn to work together as a team.
Yes.
Right? And so this is like, and, you know, there's the complex feelings with the best friend. There's
the obstacle is all this kid drama and who's the person who's responsible for fixing the kid drama is Major Payne, whose weakness is that he couldn't deal with his own kid's drama.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, all right, yeah, it might be easier to turn 11-year-olds into Air Force pilots, but now you have to turn 11-year-olds into Air Force pilots, right?
Yeah.
So then you have that all builds up to the first launch, right? Like, they're going to try this, right? And so then Act 4 is essentially now like the midpoint is like they come together and they manage to pull off a stunning defeat against the aliens. They break out one sector of Earth, right? And everyone's like, hooray! And now the aliens are are like, what the fuck is going on? And now, like, they're into the action, right? Yeah. And now the pressure's mounting. This is your act four kind of stuff. They would, I think they lose a sector. You would do, like, the emotional drama with, like, the best friend comes to a head right before, like, a big battle or something like that. And then they lose Seoul or they lose Houston, right? Yeah. Like, they, and then, you know, like, they're dealing with the fallout.
I feel like when they lose Houston or whatever, like, yeah, we'll just call it the battle over Houston. They lose Houston. Sorry, Houston. They lose all of Texas. Mm-hmm. So that then Trump doesn't win 2020. No, sorry. They lose all of Texas. That's horrible. They lose all of Texas. But Roxanne can't get over her shit. And then he sees his kid and, like, misses something too. Like, it all comes together. Like, he realizes his kid was kidnapped by these aliens. Mm-hmm. They can't get all the kids. So he fails. The kids fail at their own shit. And they all kind of drop the ball, literally, figuratively. Mm-hmm. And then literally, and then Texas is destroyed.
Yes.
And it's like, oh God, what are we going to do? Like, the aliens have the best breakout play in the world.
They have the power of multi-ball.
And they have multi-ball.
Yes, and they're unleashing their multi-balls all over. You realize that essentially what the aliens are doing is they're like, the humans are too dangerous now. So they're blowing up their own, or they're unleashing the power of multi-ball to destroy the Earth completely.
Yes.
Right? And so now, and then you do, the kids are like, fuck, what are we going to do? The fellowship is broken. And then you do that they
have an idea. Major Payne's like, send me in a ball. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go face my kid, which I should have after he walked out on me and I didn't go
after him. Here's the question, though. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to know that it's the kid yet.
Oh,
I feel like you save that for when he's up there.
Yes, because if he chooses to go there, that's a big choice.
Yeah, make it
an emotional turn when all of a sudden. Though I do like him having the I feel like Roxanne needs to know she's up against the best breakout player for the final battle.
Could you split the difference?
Yeah, I think you could do that.
Could you do like they realize it's PJ, like, because of whatever move this is?
Yeah, it's the classic, everything's going right. The final, right? You want the climax not just to be like a big, you want that turn where like, oh shit, it's fucked up. It's like, everything's going great. We're going to do this. We're all working great. The major's on board. I got this handled. I figured out. And then it's like, the major's like, that's my son. And she's like, oh my God, that's the best breakout player. And then they start struggling.
Wait, what? No, here's what I'm saying. Let me just walk you through it. So it would be, they realize it's _PJ_420 Goku balls, right?
Oh, you don't realize it's a sign.
We don't see who it is.
I get it.
But they were like, only PJ has moves that fucking high, right?
I get it.
And you know what you could do? Oh, here's what it is.
He's got some signature moves.
Here's what happens in Houston, right? So they're like, all right, time to take out another sector, Houston, right? And, you know, like, Roxy's feeling really cocky, and at the same time, she's pushing away her friends and being an asshole.
Yeah.
And then they go up. And then what the fuck is on the other side? It's another breakout ship.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They've developed their own breakout ship, and now she's getting into a Pong duel, essentially, with this other breakout ship.
Yeah.
It's like, my God, it's PJ. I know it's him. Like, and it gets into her head, and she chokes, and Houston blows up.
Yes.
And then now, you know, she's like, you know, feeling ways about stuff and angsty. Yeah. And so then they go in for this final battle.
And then her new father figure is going to have to leave, just like her old father figure, because of her mistake. He's like, this is the only thing, like, you know, I don't know if you kids can handle
it. It was wrong to send an 11-year-old to fight a war. I just watched a show called Neon Genesis Evangelion, and I feel really bad about what I put you kids through.
So you kids do your best. Hang on, and I'm going to go solve this myself. They're going to blast him up to the ship, and he's going to try to take them down from the inside while they keep trying to protect the Earth the best they can. And then, again, Major Payne, not so hard and perfect as he thinks he is, sees his kid and all of a sudden crumbles, and now he's got this tough decision to make.
Oh, here's what you could do too. You could also do, like, the kids, they shut down the initiative, right? Mm-hmm. The Major Payne blasts up there by himself to go blow it up. Mm-hmm. And then the kids are like, Major Payne's the only one who ever believed in us. And like, then you get like a radical, we gotta break back into the military for it.
Oh,
and
they're
using their breakout moves to save Major Payne, right? Like, if we take out the bad guys, like, well, you know, like, he can get out of there or something.
The president's like, is this gonna work? Well, these three are the best NASA could possibly provide for a breakout. And then, like, those three NASA scientists are doing, like, the, you know, right stuff sort of walk with their Atari sticks. And then right as they're about to enter the second ship, all of a sudden, like, the doors close and all the kids are inside. They're like, see ya, suckers. Like, no!
No, you, like, radical teens!
And then the three scientists are like, oh, thank God, because we're not going to break out.
Good God, yeah.
Thank God.
Okay, so, yeah, and then they have the big battle, and then he realizes it's his son, and then, you know, maybe he's about to step into the fantasy sequence, and then Roxy has to get on the microphone and talk to him, you know?
Yes.
And, like, convince him to fight, and then
it's not real. Video games aren't real.
Oh, that's a really good thing for her to say. It's an illusion. It's an escape. It's not reality. A wise man once told me that.
Yes.
And then he's like, man, then he fucking uppercuts the alien and grabs his kid, and then as he's running out,
I hate you, Dad. He's like, that's okay. I'm going to deal with this, and it's going to take a lot of time for us to heal. I learned my lesson. And like, oh no, we're falling, we're gonna die. And she's like, I'm the only one that can save you, but this is very stressful. And she's like, I gotta learn to handle my stress in a more appropriate way than playing video games all the time. And then she saves them
by playing a video game really well.
But no, well, she's in a spaceship, she's not playing a video game.
You could do, by the way, maybe it's also, maybe instead of her just being like, because it seems like kind of counterproductive, it's like, no, but like, you can't do it all on your own, but if you like breathe twice really deep, yeah, then you'll be able to do it. Maybe her thing is learning to let go and admit she can't do it all on her own. So Major Payne is hurling to earth, and the emotional moment is being like, weenie kid. Weenie kid is the only one with the nerves of steel to be able to do this.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's a weenie kid, right? Like, yeah, so you got the weenie kid. It was like, Mr. But like, he's the one, she's like, you're going to do it. And then he grabs the stick and he's able to, because he's the right one for the job. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good.
And that's what she couldn't do in Houston. She's like, I've got it.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes, yes. She's always got to do it on her own.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a movie.
Hell yeah.
Breakout.
Breakout.
Let's take a break out and then we'll be back. Okay.
Fairhaven's a city in a bubble. An actual bubble. It keeps the monsters out. Most of them, anyway.
I never liked the look of movies on Blu-ray. For my money, Betamax is the superior format.
I'm thinking of deleting Facebook and going back to MySpace.
As far as beverages go, I'm just kind of over water.
Though I guess at any given party, you're gonna meet some dudes like that. Even if you're not in the middle of a nightmarish wasteland. Bubble, the sci-fi comedy from MaximumFun.org. Just open your podcast app and search for Bubble.
Loggins, is that you? How did we get Kenny Loggins for this episode, guys?
I was saying, we didn't do this for the Gidas episode, and there was nobody for this one, but I was telling Will and Matt, one of these days, we're going to go to Fiverr.com, and we're going to get a sound-alike person to do one of our dumb songs at the end of these episodes, to just get a celebrity sound-alike, because for $5, you can get a pretty mediocre celebrity sound-alike.
Freddie, we can get you the man with the golden voice for free right here on this podcast.
Not as good. Maybe I should get on Fiverr, huh?
Maybe you should get
Maybe that's how we can make a little extra scratch. We all get on Fiverr.
We should go on Fiverr and be like, we'll break the story of your movie for $5.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's really good.
It's pretty good.
And then we can make an extra $5 making these episodes. a cool $5. All right. We got a lot of really good fan art this week, guys.
Yeah, it was like a fan art palooza.
Just a lot, just a bounty of treats. Let's start with shouting out Abby on Twitter at @ZeroAnaphora. She gave us the 3D model of Gidas last week, which she has now fully upgraded to be a 3D printable model of Gidas. So I believe one Matt Arnold needs to do his own fan art and make a Gidas minifig at some point.
Yeah, we need to get a 3D. We don't have a 3D printer, correct? Danny has a 3D printer, but also the boys over at Corridor Digital do, so maybe...
Well, you know what? A lot of people have 3D printers.
Print up a freaking Gidas and make a Gidas.
No, I'm putting it on the air right now so that people can tweet you, Freddie, if we don't have it. Go to the boys over at Corridor.
I want
I want Gitas 3D printed.
If you're listening right now, tweet at Matt Arnold, where's the Gitas? And then don't stop tweeting it until you see it.
But every time CC, you don't really call it CC on Twitter, but you know what I mean. Also add
send a
Freddy.
Carbon copy tweet.
Send a carrier pigeon. Blind carbon copy.
I'll paint it because it'll be also easy to paint. It's just you know, some warm faint brown, some Abaddon black on the claws will be really simple.
Yeah, don't forget to do a good dry job brush. On the nipples too.
Yeah, well, yeah, the nipples will be
I
course,
have nipples.
Rack off fresh, rack off flesh, it's the Bugman's glow. Yeah, it'll be very good.
Okay, we also got a.
I'll do a little shiny varnish just so the nipples look wet. Mm-hmm. Just the nipples.
I'll
do a little hot glue gun to kind of do like little milk drops.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who are wondering, Matt definitely did circle his nipple with his finger while describing that the nipples would be wet while
use
saying
his
that.
Index
I just
finger.
Want
to look straight at Will.
I want you all to suffer how I have suffered. We also got a really great remix of some fan art from our good old friend 8 on Twitter. They did a redo of their Rochambeau art.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, 8's always been a fantastic artist, but this is, like, even better.
Yeah.
So thanks very much to 8.
Went from an A- to an A+.
Yes.
Yes.
To an 8+, if you will. So thank you very much to 8. We also have a new piece of fan art, some Gitas art from Catherine Dubois on Twitter, at Dubois. Draws, and this is a really, really cute picture of Gitas with the green girl from Gitas, whose name escapes
that
me.
Was
Ursula.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
Yes, I love that picture.
It's incredibly cute. So that has been retweeted and is on our Twitter as well. And then, last but most certainly not least, Robbie Alton at Robbie the Human on Twitter sent us a 6.5-minute musical rock opera based on our I Chocula episode.
Yes.
It's very, 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 very good. Yeah. It is my official recommendation for this week, and yours too. I'm taking over the end of the podcast. So we are going to go ahead and wrap up the podcast and play you guys out.
Tweet us at RJ Storybreak, Facebook at bit.ly/storybreak, FB. Thank you to MaximumFun.org for having us on the podcast network. That's all I got to say.
So yeah, here is Meet the Monsters by Robbie Alton.
Dear Daddy, I hope you're faring well. I know you're busy submitting your victims to hell. As for me, I'm doing just fine. The town may dismiss us, but give us a little more time. The town thinks we're vicious. The town was delicious, the taste of the heavens divine. But the truth why I'm writing's not quite as exciting. There's something inside me that wants something odd. And yes, you may bucket it, but I want a lot of it. Whenever I talk of it, I just want blood. Oh. Let me out. Lies that I've been hiding. Just one bite of your forbidden fruit. Oh, let me in. But my chocolates have seen me thin. The paradigm's dividing me and you. But I don't.
Chocula!
Frankenberry!
What you write, nerd?
Oh, I don't know. Is it ethical to not devour the humans?
You're still stuck on that chocolate thing? Listen, look at me. I'm doing just fine. Yet my fire of desire is right how I was designed. It's my life. Oh, my choices are mine. Till a raspberry comes into view. And there's nothing else I can do. In my mind, take me over till I find the very, very daring to escape into the night. And I devour on and on until the darkest hour where the very, very's gone.
You okay?
Let me out into the high.
echo of your taste still haunts me. How ironic. My palate was developed and well tended to. The cream of the crop. And blueberries, most of all, would sing their silent, succulent song to my savored senses. There is no sweeter love than one homegrown. But no matter how much you have watered them and exposed them to the sun, your taste will not follow once you have shuffled off its mortal soil. The body becomes the dirt that grows new berry bushes. The spirit becomes a memory, just conscious enough to know it has forgotten. Taste, however, with no one to feel it, selfishly dissolves in the mouth of time until it is dry and flavorless. Oh, heavens, may you ripen my reckoning! If the sweet juices of life cannot be tasted, then, Lord, forget my spirit in the fridge, so I may expire once again.
We may be alone, we may be alone, but we're not alone, alone.
We may be alone, we may be alone, but we're not alone, alone.
We may be alone, we may be alone, but we're not alone, alone.
We may be alone.
Going into a Bullseye interview, I know that it's somebody who does amazing work, but it's an actual conversation, and you know, sometimes it gets real.
No, but my mother, I remember when I got, this is going to become a therapy session very quickly.
Does that make sense? I feel like I'm in therapy.
That was a great interview.
Bullseye. Creators you know, creators you need to know. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.